Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Price on the CFAX Afternoon Show. It is Tuesday, November 19th, and it's hard to ignore all the news coming out of the U.S. and the impeachment inquiry happening in Washington. Some of the latest just today, more witnesses on the stand. A member of the National Security Council says he couldn't believe what he was hearing as he monitored President Donald Trump's controversial July phone call with the president of Ukraine.
It is improper for the president of the United States to demand a foreign government investigate a U.S. citizen and a political opponent.
In the latest House impeachment hearing, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman called Trump's comments improper and inappropriate. He also said it had significant national security implications for the U.S. Trump, of course, accused of delaying military aid to Ukraine in return for an investigation of Democrats.
I was concerned by the call. What I heard was inappropriate.
And he says he was worried about how improper things were.
This would undoubtedly result in Ukraine losing bipartisan support, undermining U.S. national security, and advancing Russia's strategic objectives in the region.
Just some of what was heard today. Lots going on, lots of different people speaking. It can be hard to sort through all of the stuff that's coming out of the U.S. right now, so we're getting some help right here on the CFAX Afternoon Show from Jason Colby. He is a professor of history at the University of Victoria, but also has a keen eye down south of the border. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. Great to be with you.
Thanks for chatting about all of this, and I hope we're not putting you on the spot here as we try to sort out all the news. But what did you make of today's impeachment hearings, or really, I guess, as the whole week has unfolded? What have your thoughts been as you've watched it?
It was a pretty extraordinary day. I mean, and I haven't been able to watch all the hearings, but I have gotten a chance to see, you know, little clips and read quite a bit of the coverage. And I will say, you know, one of the things that's really significant about today that people should understand is that in contrast to the earlier witnesses we've seen who were you know, probably most significantly from the State Department, these witnesses are actually now coming from inside the White House. One of the top official in Ukraine policy on the National Security Council, which is located in the White House. And, you know, you're hearing firsthand accounts of people who are actually listening in on this call and hearing in their own words how disconcerting and troubling this call was for them.
And talk about why it's so troubling. I mean, we've been hearing the quid pro quo, the fact that he's trying to, you know, pressure an investigation into his political rivals in exchange for the military aid. And you know, some folks are shrugging this off, saying it's not so bad, or, you know, Republicans are trying to defend it, saying it's really just a big circus. I think that was actually one of the quotes directly. Welcome to the circus was how some of the day got introduced by the Republicans involved in it. You know, how serious is this?
Well, I mean, on one level, you know, what's kind of ironic about this is that you know, what has launched this impeachment inquiry is action by the president that's not that different than what launched the Mueller investigation, you know, two three years ago, which was, you know, at the time then candidate Trump, you know, publicly asking Russia for help in investigating Hillary Clinton and locating emails. And so on one level, it's interesting that this is kind of a bit of a reprise of that. What's different, of course, is now he's in office, he's president. And despite the sort of the arguments about whether you can identify a specific quid pro quo, it's important for me to point out from the get-go that you don't need a quid pro quo, this for that, in order for this to be potentially an impeachable offense. I mean, this is the sitting president asking a foreign government to help him undermine a domestic opponent, you know, the likely nominee in the 2020 election. And you know, at the very least, he wanted a public announcement by the Ukrainian government that they were investigating the Bidens, which you know, conceivably would hurt them. It's a highly charged partisan atmosphere at the time, but just for a moment, you know, step back and think hypothetically, what would have happened or how would Republicans have reacted if it would have come out that, you know, in 2015, Obama had pressed, you know, China to announce investigations of Trump right before the election, I mean, there would have been, of course, outrage. And so it's tough to wade through it in the charged times. But we've never actually seen anything like this in U.S. history, to my knowledge, a president actually reaching out to another government, and a government dependent on aid for its national defense against Russian aggression, you know, as the witnesses pointed out, who, you know, here's this president reaching out and asking for essentially help in undermining an opponent.
And you mentioned this already. One of the things that was interesting about today's testimony was that now we're hearing from some people who were directly involved in listening to this phone call, who were in the White House at the time. The further into the list of witnesses we get to, the more close to the initial call we get. And one of the things that keeps coming up is just how kind of surprised all of these folks seem to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's striking to me, and it's also worth reminding everyone that the transcript we're all still working off of for the record of what was said at that call is the transcript released by the White House. And a couple of these witnesses have indicated, and Lieutenant Colonel Vintman in particular indicated that there were portions of the call or, you know, phrases that were left out of the transcript as well. But it is striking to have these high policy, you know, experts in the White House now saying they were stunned. And even, you know, those that, you know, in here you've got a career military officer who is, you know, declaring his nonpartisanship. But you also have, you know, a number of others who have been quite supportive of Trump now sort of declaring either that they were shocked at the substance of the call, or, you know, relaying their opposition sort of post facto now that they realized that this investigation was tied to the aid. And we've seen a couple of witnesses flip on that too. And so it is interesting to see that you've got people very close to the president announcing their surprise that this was framed the way it was in that call.
It's sort of funny that anybody could be surprised anymore with the way American politics have gone for the last few years. But hey, there you go. We're hearing about that as these impeachment hearings continue today with more interesting stuff to digest. And we have Jason Colby on the line, professor of history with the University of Victoria, but also somebody who keenly follows U.S. politics. You're from down there yourself, aren't you?
I am. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, you've got the finger on the pulse, and we're going to come back with you.
I've been through a lot of it, yep.
Yeah, you've been through it. Hey, look, I got to take a quick break. Can you hold on the line? Stick around?
Absolutely.
Because I feel like we also have to talk about the fact that this is just one more day and what's going to be several days, and there's going to be a lot of stuff moving forward. Are you comfortable with sort of talking us through a bit of process here and what we need to be watching for moving forward and where this might be heading?
Sure thing.
Okay, let's do that after the break. Another day of impeachment hearings in the United States. For instance, the former U.S. Special Envoy to Ukraine has testified that he should have realized U.S. President Donald Trump was holding up military aid to Ukraine as a way to pressure the country to investigate its political rivals. Kurt Volker was speaking in the House impeachment inquiry this afternoon.
In hindsight, I now understand that others saw the idea of investigating possible corruption involving the Ukrainian company Burisma as equivalent to investigating former Vice President Biden. I saw them as very different, the former being appropriate and unremarkable, the latter being unacceptable. In retrospect, I should have seen that connection differently, and had I done so, I would have raised my own objections.
People telling stories and changing stories as we continue with this impeachment process. It is really just a remarkable time. I think I read a fact that this is the fourth time, I think, that this has ever happened in the United States, an impeachment going this far. Jason Colby, professor of history with the University of Victoria, is on the line with us. Is that right? Is this the fourth time?
Yeah, it's the fourth time we've gotten sort of this far.
Yeah.
Nixon resigned before sort of impeachment could go forward. But Clinton and Bill Clinton was impeached, you know, in the late 90s, and way back right after the American Civil War, President Andrew Johnson was impeached over Reconstruction issues. But this is a different kind of scandal, I guess, and a different kind of inquiry. I mean, we haven't had this kind of foreign entanglement in an impeachment inquiry before, and so it definitely gives it a different flavor than any I'm aware of.
Let's talk a bit about the process here, if that's okay. We've talked a bit mm-hmm. about what happened today, and this is just one day of many. You know, we've heard a few of the folks who are actually involved now, who are actually listening in on this call, monitoring this call, talking about their reaction to it. You know, one career Army officer talking about how he instantly thought that's improper, was the quote. But, you know, this is just one day out of many. Where are we at in this process, and where is it heading from here?
Yeah, I mean, we're very early on in the process if it were to go to completion. And it's important to understand a couple things about impeachment. And first of all, it's a political process, not a criminal sort of legal process. And so this is the way to examine the conduct of high officials in office in the United States. You know, judges can be impeached as well as presidents, but the best way to understand the word impeachment in the process is it's kind of the equivalent of indictment in a criminal trial. And so what the House is doing at the moment is deciding whether to bring forward articles of impeachment, which essentially would be sort of, you know, criminal counts of indictment. And that just requires a majority vote to go forward. And so if Democrats who hold the majority in the House decide, if you know, if they maintain party discipline and if they decide to actually make that vote, they have it in their power to impeach the president. But it's important to note that impeach doesn't mean remove, like a lot of people think it does. At that stage, it would go to the Senate, where the actual sort of the equivalent of a trial is held. Representatives from the House actually sort of act as prosecutors. In that case, the Senate acts essentially as jurors. The head of the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, is sort of rules over the trial. But it's, you know, in terms of a political process, it's important to understand that in the Senate, a vote to actually remove the president requires a supermajority of 2/3. And in the Senate, you know, there's a Republican majority. So you would have to have a huge flip in terms of party loyalty on the part of Republicans to actually remove Trump, even if he were impeached.
And that's sort of where I'm thinking ahead to now is, you know, things are sounding pretty damning from the testimony we're hearing today out of these impeachment proceedings in the House. But once it moves to the Senate, I think a lot of folks are expecting the Republicans would stand by their president, as they have been all along in this presidency, for the most part. And, you know, once we get to that point in the road, it could be that all of this doesn't really go anywhere. And then you have the president coming through it, still the president, not removed, not impeached, not any of these things. And he's through another one of these things, just like he came through the Mueller report without any anything really bringing him down. So, I mean, then you launch into 2020 and the U.S. presidential election with him through all of those things and maybe renewed.
Yeah, I think that, to be blunt, I think that the reason that the Democrats hadn't impeached him on earlier misuse of power, which there were lots of possibilities and opportunities, was precisely that kind of political calculus, the concern that it looks like you're trying to overturn an election through the impeachment proceeding. I think the fair reading of this was, once the whistleblower came forward reporting this call in August, and once it was confirmed, I think, you know, it's probably a fair conclusion that the leaders in the House, the Democratic leaders in the House, concluded that they had their duty to the nation was to at least consider impeachment because of what a serious abuse of power this potentially was. And so I think on one level, you know, the positive spin to put on this, just and I say this just as an American, is you're seeing the House take their constitutional duties seriously. I mean, you know, if it's possible to step back for a moment from all the partisan, you know, bickering, I'll just say this kind of conduct as from a president is, you know, if this is indeed true, which it seems to be, no one's really contesting the facts, it's just totally unacceptable for a president to be doing, right? And so the question, I think, is not whether he did this, but whether this rises to the level of removal. And you're absolutely right. Even though the Senate is usually thought about as the sort of the elder statesman of the two houses, and generally speaking, There's more bipartisanship and camaraderie historically in the Senate. It's almost as charged now there as it is in the House, and so it's hard to imagine that many Republicans flipping unless something even more damning were to come out, one can imagine. But we've seen lots of figures like Lindsey Graham, for example, in the Senate, who were sharply critical of Trump, now sort of lined up. And so there is a sort of an open question of whether it's possible to be a Republican and not line up lockstep behind Trump now, which is sort of a tough question for Republicans to ask them about the future of their party. But you're right in the sense that it's unlikely that this would actually result in his removal, and so it would sort of run into the campaign season.
And then I just kind of wonder what that means. I mean, and for some people that might be great news. If you are a Donald Trump supporter and a Republican supporter, you might like to almost see that. He's going to come out of this. He's going to hit that 2020 campaign trail with this all behind him with, I mean, whatever spin you want to put on it, you can say, hey, I was cleared. Nothing to see here. I wasn't removed, so everything must be okay. And then you move into that. I just wonder if from the Democrat side, I'm just trying to think through the next few steps, and does this really get them where they want to be at the end?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell exactly what's happening, politically, but it is noteworthy that the Republicans have done horribly in the off-term elections that were just held, in on the state level in Virginia, Kentucky, places that have historically been controlled by the Republicans have been sort of key offices have been taken by the Democrats. I will say, historically, when this kind of investigation happens, and certainly impeachment happens, presidents are usually irretrievably damaged in the sense that they are on the defensive. There's constant revelations about misconduct. It's hard for me to imagine that if impeachment were to go forward and the trial were to be held, even if Trump weren't removed, that it would be good for him politically. It might charge up, the very, very eager, kind of distilled part of his base, but it also tends to sort of charge up those that are not keen observers of politics to want to get rid of him. And so I'm not convinced that impeachment is a bad thing politically for Democrats or good for Trump. Although I would also just say, I think it's from what we know now, I think it's actually constitutionally required of the Congress to engage in this.
Regardless of what the politics are, it was just the thing that had to happen.
That would be my view, yes.
Hey, Jason Colby, professor of history at the University of Victoria, I really appreciate this, and we should check in with you again as this unfolds, because this won't be the only time we'll need to sort through what's been going on in Washington in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely. Always happy to come on.
All right. Cheers. Thank you very much. Okay, we need to take a break right now. The news and traffic coming up next.